Good evening. It's good to be with you again this evening. I'm excited you had to put up with the song leading this morning, and now you get to put up with me preaching. So you got a double dose of me being up here today. So it's definitely a privilege to be able to speak this evening. This evening's lesson is, I've given the title of The Perfect Gift. The Perfect Gift. In this lesson, we're going to see that we have been given, you know, the perfect gift, the greatest gift. And we will see also that, you know, how our gifts measure up to God's gifts, what He gives us. I'm going to pose a question here. Have you ever had a gift that was given to you that meant a lot to you? And this may go back to childhood, this may go back years ago, but just want you to think about that. Have you ever been given a gift that was given to you that meant a lot to you? We've all been given a gift at some point in time that we would never forget, something that stuck with us. And now we are in the season of giving. According to the world, it's the season of giving. But we as Christians, we must know that our time of giving is done all year long. It's all year long for us that we have that giving. You know, as we see needs year round, we have an obligation to take care of those needs for others if possible. We have that obligation as Christians to do so. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 20. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And we have many opportunities throughout the year to help when needed. We have those opportunities. When we think about giving, we normally think about helping financially. Well, that's the first thing we think about. But there are other ways we can help other than money. You know, we can give of our time to check if someone may need a ride to the doctor or grocery shopping. Just main thing is letting them know that we really care. You know, and another thing I might mention, that we might take care of someone's yard if they're not able. Those are things that we can do to help out, and something that we give. We give of our time. You know, and thing, you know, I want us to think about, you know, our earthly gifts only last for a short time. Our earthly gifts only last for a short time. You know, sometimes we get bogged down with our lives and we tend to overlook others' needs. You know, God has given us many things. And the first thing I want to mention is He's given us life. He's given us life. You know, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. You know, we cannot escape either one of these things. You know, we are blessed with life. We are blessed with life. You know, in James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. You know, we are only here for a little while. You know, we are not guaranteed another day. We must make the most of our opportunities while we're here on earth. Life is full of ups and downs, but we must know we have to persevere. We have to persevere. You know, in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, it says there, consider it all joy. You know, many of us don't look at that our trials as joy. The joy will come after our perseverance. That's when joy comes in. Joy comes after we persevere and push through the hard times. You know, we have examples of men who endured trials, and I'm just going to mention a couple here. We have Job. Job lost all that he had. You know, of course, we know that his wife told him to curse God and die. But Job lost everything that he had. But what he didn't, he trusted God, but he was blessed later in his life, persevering through everything that had happened to him. He persevered. Another man that we might mention is Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 28, we won't read all that, but it mentions several things there that Paul endured for far more labors, imprisonments. He was beaten. He was in danger of death. He received 39 lashes from the Jews, beaten three times with rods. Once he was stoned. Three times he was shipwrecked. A night and a day spent in the deep, frequent journeys, dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. And all these things, he had labors and hardships, many sleepless nights in hunger and in thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. Those are the things that he went through. But Paul, and it mentions there also, he had the daily pressure because of his concern for the churches. His concern for the churches. He did not, you know, he didn't have a very good past though. And his past did follow him, but he understood that his task, it wasn't going to be easy. His task wasn't easy. You know, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible reads, "Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, that was another lesson for Paul. He had to learn that because he asked three times for the thorn to be taken. He had that thorn in the flesh and he asked three times for it to be removed. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, back in verse 9 there, he said, Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected and weakness." You know, we as Christians, we're going to make mistakes. And we must repent and turn back to God and know His will for us. You know, many times we can get caught up in trying to please ourselves more than we want to please God. Pleasing God should always come first. It should always come first. God has also given us the Bible. God has given us the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible reads, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." Verse 17. "So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." You know, in any Bible study, we should start here. That way, people aren't putting their trust in us. They need to trust in the Scriptures and what the Scriptures are telling them. You know, we have been given the Scriptures. We've been given the Scriptures, and they have the choice to follow them or not. Just like we do. And all we can do is plant the seeds. All we can do is plant seeds and hope those you study with may understand what they must do to be saved. And in Bible study, when they come to that point, what must I do to be saved? Then that's the ball is in our hand. There will be those who not want to listen, though, and we must understand that. We must understand there will be those who won't want to listen. They will never listen. The Bible guides us in any situation that we may have to face. God has given us free will to choose to believe the Bible to be factual or not. He's given us that choice. But we must know that it doesn't matter if we believe it or not. If God says it, that should settle it. If He says it, that settles everything. Another thing that God has given us. God has given us grace. He's given us grace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible reads, "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much did the grace of God and gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many." You know, grace is unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." God also gives us spiritual blessings. He gives us spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible reads, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." If we have not been baptized into Christ, we don't receive those spiritual blessings. We don't receive those spiritual blessings. We miss out on a lot of things by not being in Christ. You know, God also, He gives us the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So when we are baptized, the Holy Spirit lives in us. You know, it's good to know that He is with us. You know, we tend to forget that He works through us. We must know that every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." But now, let's talk about the perfect gift. Let's talk about the perfect gift. God gave His one and only Son up for us. You know, He watched His Son die a cruel death, but He knew there was a purpose behind it. He knew there was a purpose behind it. Jesus' death was a perfect gift for us. Without His sacrifice, we would not have forgiveness of sins. We forget that we have that perfect gift. We have that perfect gift. We remember His death. We remember His death every first day of the week. You know, we should be forever grateful that God allowed this to happen. He allowed this to happen. You know, we are definitely under a better covenant. In John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God has given us eternal life. And He has promised that if we are faithful. And you know, and also in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If we are found in Christ, we are promised eternal life. There's a price for sin, though, and it's death. It's a spiritual death that He's talking about there. It's a spiritual death. Also in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone." Verse 14. "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And again, we're talking about a spiritual death again there. You know, sin is something we need to stay away from. We need to stay away from sin. We all will be tempted, but we can overcome those temptations. We can do that. You know, God has also promised a crown of life if we remain faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. The last part there of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, that's something that we should all want to see. That's something we all should look forward to. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew he had something better that awaited him. He knew that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, and we should long to say these words as well, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. You know, God will reward us heaven if we follow His will. If we do His will, He has promised us that. God has given us many gifts than we take them for granted. You know, we need to be reminded that God's giving is better than our giving. God's giving is better than our giving. We cannot outgive God. We cannot. You know, if we compare our giving to God's giving, He will win every time. He will win every time. God has given us so much that we lose sight of that around the holidays. And we are in the season of giving, and we need to remember that we can share the good news with those that we come in contact with. You know, our time of giving for Christians is done all year round, and we need to seek out opportunities to help someone in need or even sharing the gospel with someone. You know, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, we need to seek first the kingdom. That's what we need to be seeking. You know, we can't be seeking worldly things. That's not pleasing to God. That is not pleasing to God. We must set our minds on things above. We do have control where our thoughts go. But we can also stray off the straight and narrow. But we can also get back on. God needs to be at the center of our lives. And we need to know that He loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son up for us. God knew we needed a Savior, and He provided us one. He knew that. He knew what we needed. Jesus did His part in the scheme of things, even though He could have came down down from the cross any time that He wanted to, but He was doing the will of His Father. This was the perfect gift, and we should be forever grateful for Jesus and His sacrifice. You know, the pain and agony that He bared was for our sins. We should always remember that God's gifts are far greater than any giving that we can do. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. May we always trust that He will reward the faithful. You know, those who seek Him. Let us seek the will of God and search the Scriptures daily. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.